We're going to take a break from our series today, and I'm going to talk about fathers on Father's Day. And you may not be a father. You might think, well, okay, so I don't need to pay attention. But actually, I think this is a message we all need to hear because our whole concept of fathers has fallen into disrepute and a disarray. And so hopefully today I can share some thoughts that will help with that. And I've titled this Protect and Serve because I believe, men, that's what you should be doing. We are living in very, very dangerous times for families. They need protecting. And when we walk out of here today, I want everybody to understand that God's idea, God's plan is that you men, you dads, are the protector and the servant of your families. And as I said, I think these are dangerous times. I think they are certainly the most dangerous I've ever known. And I've been alive longer than almost all of you. Never has there been a time where families are under such pressure, such stress. And people are just not doing well. Especially children in every measurable category that they can measure, children are not doing well. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, they're just not. And things aren't improving. They're getting worse. And all indications are that as we continue to lose our Christian worldview and our culture, it's going to get worse for kids. And dads, they're not just dangerous. They're deadly. And I don't say that with hyperbole. It's a fact. Things that will poison and destroy your children's lives are presented as wonderful treasures that they should pursue. And technology makes those offers available to your children day and night, nonstop, personally, in ways you aren't even aware of. And what's considered, if they just live a normal life today, if you raise your kid to be normal and he lives a normal life in our culture, they will be involved. The number one and number two killer of their lives as teens will be murder and suicide. That's a fact. And estimates are one in five teens has contemplated seriously taking their own life. So things aren't good. And dads, we need to believe this. We need to be sober-minded and alert. We need to believe that we have an adversary and he's prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone he can devour. And your family and your kids are squarely on his list. He wants to destroy them. But all is not lost because God has placed you, dads, in your family, and he's given you the strength to serve and protect your family to stop him from destroying them. And now, that's God's plan. It says this, when Adam saw Eve, when God first created men and women, he saw her and he said, hey, this is what's going to happen. A man is going to leave his father and mother and he's going to be united to his wife and they're going to set up a household. And that's the plan. That's how God wants the planet to be managed and maintained, to produce good people so that good things happen on the world. And this is the plan for that to happen. So God's on your side. And in a better world, but we don't live in the better world. But if there was a better world, dads would be honored. Dads would be like, yeah, everybody would go, we need a dad. We need dads to be involved and be protecting and serving and producing good people. But we've come to a point where even just saying that this ought to be the plan, that a man ought to found his household, is controversial and even perhaps dangerous. And there's a feeling that this view of the home and the family is something oppressive and that we've somehow evolved beyond it, that we don't need this anymore, that we can form families any way that we want. But the idea that that a father is something that would not be needed, or it's something that we would ever grow beyond. As Christians, we should reject that, absolutely. Because, see, we understand that a father is the one thing that everybody on the planet needs. They're never going to outgrow it. For all eternity, we need a father. God is our father. So we of all people should be promoting fatherhood wherever we can, because we understand it is good. It is a great thing. It's wonderful. To be a father is a holy calling. And we should desire to be, you young men should desire to grow up and be a dad. Hardly any, people don't even desire that anymore. Being a dad, having children, producing good people is a wonderful, holy, high calling, something that we should rightly aspire to. Now, there's a lot we could say about it. I could talk for a long time on dads, but we're going to limit it to just these two things, to protect and to serve, and then we can get out of here and go barbecue like we're supposed to. That's the other thing you got to do, Dad. You got to learn to barbecue. So this will give us plenty to chew on, I think, hopefully. So first off, dads, you need to be the protector. You need to protect yourself, your wife, and your children. Now, starting off with yourself may seem like a funny place to begin, but, I was recently on an airplane, and you always get the spiel. If somehow there's a sudden loss of cabin pressure, the oxygen mask will drop, and even though they're not inflated, oxygen will flow. And they always say to put your own mask on first. It's not your tendency. Your tendency, especially moms, you would help your children first. But the problem is you need more oxygen than they do. And if you pass out, then nobody's left to help them. And it's the same way in our households. Dads, we got to be the ones that are in good shape first and foremost so that we can take care and protect our family. Without us, the family is in trouble. And we, dads, we are under attack. And not just personally, which we are. The devil is attacking you personally all the time. But you as an item, as an idea, as a necessary part of your family, that's under attack constantly. For the last 100 years or so, beginning mostly in Europe, but then coming here, this culture has increasingly promoted the idea that a man who will commit his entire life to a family is unnecessary. We've been offered the opportunity to not do that. And men have taken it up. The idea we can form families any way we want is being openly taught now, right, in schools. So you don't need a mom and a dad. You can form a family any way you want. Your horse, a cat, and a dog, that'll do. God says no. God says you need a dad and you need a mom. Almost every voice in our culture demeans your role and your responsibility. Constantly, every sitcom, everything you hear says that you are out of depth in your home. You're just not capable. You have no capacity to understand your wife or your children. You're just a bumbler. You should not even try to determine the direction or the tone of your home, because if you bring, all your maleness to that, it's just going to hurt everybody's feelings and cause trouble. Your ideas and insights about what would be good for them are foolish at best, but most likely they're damaging. And if you get too involved, you'll mess things up. And if you do want to be involved, well, the thing you've got to learn to do, man, is learn to be more like a mom. That's what your family needs. Your family needs you to be more like a mom. And we're told that all the time. So we're left with we just think, well, okay, we'll just go outside and play. We'll just continue to be a boy. And we'll just go out and we'll get involved in our hobbies, or we'll play golf, or, we'll ride our motorcycles, or we'll go do something. We'll buy toys and we'll use them. Because really, what else are we good for? We're all thumbs when it comes to this family and relational stuff. So that's kind of what we're left with. That's our cultural idea of what a man's role is in his family. So the first and the most important thing we've got to do is see and understand that attack for what it is. Now, who is the one person who wants fatherhood erased from the universe? Satan. He left heaven because he did not want to live under the fatherhood of God. And so that attack comes directly from him because he wants fatherhood erased everywhere. He wants no trace of it left in the universe whatsoever. So anytime anybody wants to become a father and assume that role, man, they are a prime target. So we have got to, dads, understand that. We've got to come to our senses, and we've got to reject it. We've got to have the faith and the courage to believe that we are the fountainhead of blessing for our family. That God wants to use us in that way to bring good, to protect, that we're needed, that we're necessary. And that's not going to be easy. You're going to get resistance lots of places if you try to do that, even in your own home. But we need to do it. It's what God says. He is right. Your kids need a father. So no matter what signals we get to the contrary, we've got to protect that belief and conviction that we are necessary, that we must be involved, that our kids will languish without us. And then we've got to protect our wife. This is where it all begins. You can't, sometimes I see so many people that want to look beyond their wife to their kids, and you cannot do that. We have to protect our wives. They're under the same attack that we are. They hear all that stuff about us. And she's told over and over and over that she is the only capable one, that she must carry the burden herself. Well, it's worse than that. She's not only got the burden. See, she senses the attack on her kids. She knows that they are in trouble. She desperately feels the need to protect them. But all she's been given to help her is this worthless man who's just a child too, and she's got to manage him as well as taking care of everything else. Well, we got to convince her that is not the case. We have to show her that God's plan includes you. Dad, you need to protect her from that. You need to convince her that that is not true. You need to help her think differently than the world. You need to help her manage her thoughts and fears. Help her understand the responsibility is yours, not hers. You're the one God is going to call to account, not her. You're going to be the one answering the questions before Jesus, not her. And then you have to live that way. You have to live like that's really going to happen. That God's going to come to you and go, hey, what's up with your kids? Why did you let that happen? And you can't go, because my wife. You're going to be responsible. The spiritual battle is such that you must become the leader in your home. You must become the spiritual leader. You must become the one that is out front, bearing more responsibility, bearing more of the burden. God tells us this. I didn't do all my things. Husband, God created male and female for the home. They're supposed to be both, male and female, and we have to show everybody that we need to be there. Husbands, we've got to love our wives. This is how we protect her. We love her. And we must cleanse her with the word. We must become the spiritual leader. We must help her understand truth. We must help her understand that we don't live in the world that she sees in all the magazines and on TV. That's not reality. This is the real world. We live in the world that God created. We're going to be called to account for him. There's an enemy after her. We have to protect her. There's a Savior. God's personal. He's spoken to us. We must listen. All these things. We have to found our home on this reality, not the fantasy that the world labors under. And you've got to love her. Man, you have to be committed to her for the rest of your life. I don't care what happens. You have to convince her that you will never, never find anything more valuable in your life than her. For the rest of your life, you must do whatever it takes to ensure that happens. You must guard yourself. You must guard her. You must be able to look your children in the eye and tell them there will never be a person that will come between you, your mother, and me. Never. I will die first. That's what Roxanne and I have always said. Murder is a possibility. Divorce is not. And we told our kids that. Never. Because we'll have to stand before God someday and give an account as to why. What I found to be more exciting than the woman he gave me. I don't want to answer that question. And they've got to be convinced that we will lay down our lives for them no matter what. And that, of course, is the best way you protect your children, is you love their mom and you take care of her and you shoulder the burden and the responsibility that she is your helper. You're not her helper. That's not what God said. Dads, you're responsible also to protect your children. You're responsible, not their mom, not the school, not the government, not the church. You. And he's going to call you to account for this. And the amount of attacks that your children are under is staggering. It's unbelievable. Growing up today it's really hard. It's worse than hard. And at the same time that this is true, the world's telling you there's nothing for you to do but go out and play. But you have a tremendous responsibility that you must fulfill. And this is where all your strength and your resolve will be needed to stand against the current of this world and to teach your children to do the same. But you've got to be the example. You've got to live differently than the script the world hands you. Or your kids are just going to live according to the script that they get handed in the world. You got to stand against the current of this world. You have to help them understand that they're going to need somebody that understands that and can demonstrate that for them. Someone that is willing to make hard decisions that are unpopular but are right. Man, you got to be right. You got to be right. You have to do the right thing. To the best of your ability, none of us are perfect, but to the best of our ability, we have to do the right thing. We got to teach them to swim against the current of this world. And if you're not swimming, you're just getting swept along. So you always have to be swimming. One of the dives I did down there, I've never dove in such strong current before. If you weren't careful, you were just picked up and you were just carried off, which is not good. So you just had to be swimming all the time. So we've got to do that so that we will, dads, win their admiration and their heart. Bible's Proverbs says this, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." See, we got to live before them in such a way that they're going to look at us and want to give us their heart. Now, we have to be bold. We have to ask. But we need to impress them. They're wired to be impressed from the time they're little. And we can't lose that. We have to be worthy of their respect and their admiration and their love. They must willingly hand us their heart, which means we got to look like a better thing than all of the stuff that the world is offering them. And that's not easy. We have to live in such a way that godliness is more appealing to them than the world. And that's a huge challenge. To do that, you're going to have to serve. You're going to have to serve. Now, we talk a lot about serving as believers. You know, that's what Jesus taught. He said to the 12, he said, come here. Hey, if you want to be great, if you want to be the first, you want to be appreciated in the kingdom, then you got to be a servant. And we think, oh, yeah, that's good. It's good. Even Jesus lived that way. He was the example. He said, even the Son of Man didn't come to be served. Now, if anybody deserved to be served, it was him. But he didn't. He served. He laid his life down. And I just know it's really easy to think, yeah, being a servant, it's kind of a glorious thing. Being a servant's good. But I want to just help us all here a minute. Jesus talked about that, what it really meant to be a servant. He said, you know, which one of you having a servant tending sheep or plowing will say to him when he comes in from the field, oh, come in, you've been working so hard. Come in, sit down, I'll get you something to eat. He goes, no. You go, hey, you get me something to eat, and then when I'm done eating, then you can eat. Does he thank him because he did what was commanded? No, he's a servant. Guess what? Servants often, well, always, get treated like servants. And it's not surprising. They're a servant. And for me, this was really helpful. There was a certain point in my life where this hit me. And I just thought, oh, okay. I think I get it, Lord. I was really wanting to be appreciated for how hard I was serving. That's not how it works. In your home, you won't always be appreciated. But that does not mean you should not serve. That does not mean Jesus does not want you to serve. So the first person you have to serve is God. Man, we've got to become serious about being God's man. We've got to be sold out, dads, that we are the servant of Jesus Christ. I really believe that. If you're going to be successful today, 50 years ago, you might have been able to raise a good kid without that. I don't know anymore, really, I don't. If you aren't sold out for a different world, for the kingdom, I don't know how your kids are ever going to, I just don't know how they're going to see it. And we've got to be God's men. We've got to man up, and we've got to be God's men. Your life must be about serving Jesus. You must believe that you are not here to play golf or make a career or collect toys or chase women or any other thing that this world tells us that we're here for. That your time, talent, and treasure should be spent in those ways. We have got to be sold out, time, talent, treasure, for Jesus. And that means we've got to do the things that are necessary to know him, to hear his voice, so that we know what he wants us to do. You can't be a servant if you're not getting commands, right? That's what a servant does. He gets commands, and then he does them. And so we've got to do what it takes, guys. And you know what that means? You're going to have to read. Dads, you're going to have to read. I know it's easier to look at your phone. But we're growing a whole generation of people that just want to look at their phone. But our Creator has decided to communicate to us through writing. So guess what? As his servants, we got to learn to read. We got to spend time reading. We got to spend time praying. We got to spend time with him, meditating, memorizing, contemplating his word so that we can learn to hear his voice. It's not like automatic. It's something we must learn and grow in. We must train ourselves in. And then we must believe what he tells us. And everybody will say, well, you got to apply. Well, you just got to believe. If you believe, you will apply. If you think a train's coming down the track, you get off. And we just need to wrestle through till we really believe what God is telling us and not the story that we live in this world. And that is the foundation of everything good that's going to flow into your family, is if you can become God's servant, if you can believe the things that he tells you. And then you've got to serve your wife. Again, it starts with your wife. Husbands, love your wives. This is how you serve her. You love her. You keep your heart soft towards your wife. You delight in the wife of your youth, even when she's no longer in her youth, and you aren't either. You delight in her. You love her. You do not allow your heart to grow cold or indifferent. You don't accomplish the conquest and move on like we have the tendency to do, guys. You love that woman. You take care of her. You cherish and appreciate her to the point where your actions follow. You work on your own heart. Loving her is the number one priority in your family. And then you use your strength to help her. As I said, she's not your... You're not her helper, she's yours. You got to be doing more than she does. Now, I know the world tells us that they don't need any help. The world tells us that they're the strong ones, and we're not. And that's not what God says. God says, husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker partner, showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. So God says they're weaker. Now, listen carefully, please. I'm not saying women are weak. You moms, you work yourselves to death. Keeping up with a woman is not easy. You keep up with the woman in my house, I mean, it'll kill you. But God says we have more strength. See, that's what we've been deceived in. We just think, oh, we're done. We've been deceived. God says we have more strength. Now, it's different, obviously. Well, maybe not obviously anymore, but it is different. But we have strength, guys. We have to recapture. We have to refine that strength and apply it to carry the burdens of our family so that our wives are not carrying them on their own. We need to discover what that means. One of the things I do on an annual, well, a couple times a year actually, is we go to the Amish auction out in St. Charles. It's wonderful. And you know why I go? I go to remind myself what men are capable of. Because when I go there, I see 4 to 6-year-old boys doing more than men think they can do in our culture. And it's true. This 4-year-old boy rode through a crowd of people that don't know anything about horses on this horse that was probably 16 hands. We would have had him strapped into a high chair. And I thought, I don't know if they trained the boy or the horse, but maybe it doesn't matter. They're way more capable than we think. 12-year-old boys run an auction with nobody telling them what to do. I just go there and I think, oh, this is good. This reminds me that we're way more capable than we've been told. We've been lied to so much we just lose track of what we could do. And guys, we got to remember that. It's like the silver chair. Any of you guys read C.S. Lewis's The Silver Chair? The prince is chained to the chair and thinks he's weak all day long. And then 1 hour a night, he becomes sane and remembers that he has strength. Well, we got to remember that we have strength all the time. We got to discover it and we got to die to ourselves till we find it. And then we've got to serve our children. Yes, even our children. We need to be the servant of everybody. We've got to serve our children. But when I say that, I do not mean what people so often think that means. People think that means you should do everything for them and make sure they have a soft life. That is not what it means. What it means is we serve our children by ensuring that they discover that they themselves have the strength to be successful in life. And when I say successful, I don't mean that they'll have a high-paying job or look pretty. I mean this. God has put you together with your wife because he wants godly offspring to walk away from your home. He wants you to raise children who understand the realities of the way the world really is, that God is there and he must be reckoned with. So there's several things I think that can, I'm going to just sum up here a little bit. Properly to serve our children, dads, here's what we need to do. First, we need to demonstrate in a living way our love and our commitment to God. They must see that we are first and foremost sold out for the world that they cannot see. And then they must know that you love your wife, that you delight in her, that you just, you know, when they come, you just go away. Your mom and I want to be together. I mean, we told our kids that a lot. Go away. Go play. Go to your room. We're going to hang out. When I come home from work, I would say hi to them, and then I would devote a half hour to my wife. They knew mom's first. That gives them a proper sense of themselves, where they belong in the world. It's good. And then you have to train them to value authority. So much damage and destruction comes into a person's life if they don't recognize and respect authority, if they don't like authority, if they don't welcome authority. Boy, if they don't welcome authority, how are they going to come to God? And we have to teach them by our demonstration, our exertion of proper authority, that authority is good and loving, that it's protection, that it's good for their lives. And then dads, you need to train them to endure hardship. Now, training requires planning, it requires scheduling, it requires lots of things. You think about a training program. You think if you want to be able to lift 280 pounds, you're going to need to train. Well, you're going to need to do all those things. Well, you got to do all those things with your kids, and you have to teach them to endure hardship. Man, if you can't endure hardship, your life is at the mercy of every passing evil. If they can't look at something and deny themselves and go through hardship, they are a victim 100% of the time. And you've just set them up for disaster. So you must teach them to do what they do not want to do till they can do it cheerfully. Make them work hard. Find some way to make them learn to work hard, and you'll bless them for the rest of their life. Train them to be servants as well. And the way you train them, of course, is that you set the example that you are the servant, that you live in your home as the servant, that they know, wow, if something needs to be done, dad will do it. You know, you're not laying on the couch going, man, you know, hand me the remote. That's not you. You know, you can't be that guy. You must train them that service is greatness. So what Jesus said, I mean, our world says different, of course. The world says different than all these things. But our job, Dad, is to show the reality of the way things really are. That this world is passing away. That if we have these qualities, then we will be set up for eternity. And then, this is the hardest, of course, you need to teach them to recognize and flee evil. Evil doesn't come dressed, you know, with a pitchfork and red horns very often, although more and more it is even now. But we got to teach them. And you got to read the book of Proverbs. You know, The immoral woman is after him. The fool is after him. All these things are after him. And you have to teach your kids to be able to see it and recognize it. You know, Disney is wicked. Just because everybody's watching Disney doesn't mean they ought to. One of the phrases I picked up along the way is, others may, we may not. You know, our family doesn't live like everybody else. That's not weird. That's just how we are. And you know, like I would never let my daughter watch The Little Mermaid. Never. Why would I want my little girl to watch a story about a woman who dresses in a bikini and hangs out with an older man and doesn't tell her father? Why is that a good story for little girls? Well, it's not. But we all do it. It's like, oh, it's cartoon. It's okay. No, it's not. It's bad. I didn't want my little girl growing up with that script in her head. Now, you may have different convictions, but whatever they are, Dad, you got to put them in practice in your home and go, look, I'm protecting my child. I'm not letting that happen to him. I don't care if everybody else is doing it. And I let them watch R-rated movies. I let them watch Amistad. Why? Well, because that's reality. That's about slavery and things they need to know about. That's fine. Ratings meant nothing to me. It's a matter of, is it teaching truth? And so, dads, we got to be the gatekeeper on all that. We got to help our children, not just fit in. Fitting in means 1 out of 5 considers suicide. Fitting in means being involved in pornography. Fitting in means being involved in everything you do not want your children to have to suffer with. And you're going to have the moral character and courage to grow abnormal children. And they'll be so glad you did. So, dads, I hope, you know, let's encourage one another. Let's help one another. This is hard. Boy, we need, you know, we need to do more than just eat habanero peppers together. Although that was fun. Watching other people do it. I didn't eat any. We got to help one another. We got to be for one another, the encouragement and the support that's going to be necessary to pull that off. Some of you young guys here are going to get married. You're going to have kids. You got to start with determination right out of the gate. It's a bad world. Kids are being destroyed, and it's going to be worse. So we got to have the resolve to do what it takes. And mom, you got to let us. You got to realize the need. You got to help us. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this. Thank you that you're a dad. Lord, well, you discipline us. It says in the word that you discipline us, you train us, you love us, you protect us, you care for us, you give us strength. That's what dads do. God, help us get a right, proper idea of all that you want to do through our lives in our families. Lord, the world desperately needs men who will give their strength to protecting and to serving their families. Our culture may not survive the foolishness that we've undertaken in getting rid of them. God, help us. Help us stand strong in the current. Help us swim against it. Help us teach our kids and our wives to swim together. And Lord, we need your help. These are desperate, desperate times, Lord, and we need your help, and we pray that you would be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.